Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started.
Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. You know, I've been wanting to do an episode on the topic of loneliness for about a year now, and thankfully I found just the right guest today to help us navigate this. Loneliness is something that we all experience or will experience at some point in our lives, but it has become a worldwide epidemic in first world nations where technology is most advanced. Isn't that fascinating? Our convenient and favorite tech devices are right at the center of this. In fact, in May of 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General even declared loneliness to be an epidemic, one that affects one out of two American adults. Wow, that's not to mention all the kids it affects. My guest today, in her book, she says, quote, loneliness has a way of creeping up on us unnoticed through a series of subconscious and tech-enabled habits that lead us to one day look around and think, where have all my friends gone? Why am I suddenly more of a loner than I ever set out to be? And how did this happen, unquote. How many of you can relate to this? I know I can. Our phones, the adult version of the binky, are our constant companion. And at first thought, they seem to provide us with friendship, connection, support. But is that really true? How many people today, regardless of age, gender, or political orientation, are more comfortable swiping and commenting than they are striking up a conversation with someone or joining a group with the thought of making some new friends? True friendship does not come from your interactions with your smartphone. They never have, and I don't think they ever will. As we get older, loneliness can strike any of us, but I think that men are a bit more vulnerable. Why? Well, so many men have important friendships at work, and when they stop working, well, it just becomes easier to live isolated than get out of our comfort zone and make new friends. Women of a certain age tend to do a bit better at this, as they seem to be more natural at building community and are often involved in a whole slew of activities, no matter their age. God bless women. And for men, I think there's a bit of shame involved in feeling lonely, as in they don't want people to know, because as men, the last thing you want is people feeling sorry for you. But loneliness is nothing to be ashamed of. It is just the soul's desire for meaningful human connection, something we all crave and need. Human connection and friendships are like the sun. You don't need the sun all day, every day, but we all need some or we just don't thrive. I'm starting to rant, and my guest today is so insightful on this topic that I want to get to this interview. It's so good to be back talking with you, Base Campers. Let's get a word from our sponsor and then onward and upward. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. Something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Cindy McMiniman. Cindy is an award-winning writer, a national speaker, and certified writing coach who has ministered to women for nearly 40 years. She's the author of 19 books, including The New Loneliness, a book that we're going to talk about today. Here is my interview with Cindy McMiniman. All right, I am here with Cindy McMiniman, wife and mother, author, proud American, and woman of faith, Cindy McMiniman. Cindy, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be here with you.
Well, and I so appreciate you making time because I know you haven't been feeling so hot, so I'm so glad that you're being a trooper and doing the interview today, because I've got a crazy schedule coming up. And you wrote this great book called The New Loneliness, which we're going to talk all about today. And I have been, Cindy, I've been wanting to do an episode on loneliness for at least a season. I was keeping my eye out, and I was like, God, I really feel like this is such a relevant topic in the digital age. And you wrote the book, and you were game to do the interview, which I'm so grateful for. My first question, I guess, is how has your own experience with loneliness, how was that the impetus to write the book?
You know, it's unusual because I'm a very social person. I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I've always had lots of friends. And through the years, women have said, will you write a book on friendships? And I'm like, I don't think I need to do that because I don't think I need any more friends.
Yeah.
And as I was revisiting the idea with my publisher, because I wrote a book 20 years ago called When Women Walk Alone, which was my breakout book. It's still in print. The conversation came up because we had met met to talk about what more we could do with that book 20 years later. And it was the day after the U.S. Surgeon General had just declared this new epidemic of loneliness and had all these stats. And my editor leaned across the table and he said, Cindy, if you were to write When Women Walk Alone today, 20 years later, would you write it any differently? And I'm like, yes, there are so many factors now that can make women feel alone. You know, I was thinking at the time. And shortly after that conversation, as I started to get ready to write this, my daughter came into my room one day and she said, you know, Mom, I'm concerned about you because you don't have any friends anymore. And I said, what are you talking about? I have tons of friends. She said, no, I'm not talking about your writing clients or the women in ministry that you meet with or networking lunches or stuff like that. She goes, when do you just get together with a friend and talk? Who do you let your hair down and just be who you are? You don't even go out to the movies anymore with friends or shopping and stuff. And I hadn't realized how much being an entrepreneur, working from home, you know, doing a lot through Zoom, over the phone and email had really interfered with my being intentional about being with others. And I thought, wow, I better start being intentional because I'm probably lonelier than I realized. I was just distracted in loneliness.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. It kind of crept up on us. We have these phones and we tell ourselves, you know, we get dopamine from it. And we're just like, oh, I'm really connected. The same thing can happen to anybody where their friend group really starts to shrink up because you're on the fly at the traffic light texting a friend about something. It's like, it's absurd how much we've gotten away from that. You know, the title of the book is The New Loneliness. What was the new part about the book on loneliness?
So the new loneliness is that deeper ache we feel from our reliance on technology and the diminishing element of human interaction and touch. And that's happened as we continue with a lot of our post-COVID isolation habits. And it's that emptiness that social media brings on when we're supposed to feel connected. You know, they say that we are more digitally connected than ever, but less emotionally and physically connected than ever. We can tend to feel inferior or inadequate or competitive after scrolling through everyone's highlight reels on social media. We've been told AI is a great help, but it's another alternative to human interaction and human compassion and human touch. And, you know, we aren't devices or digital code. We are people designed and meant to live in community with other real life people.
Well, I think, you know, I've spoken about this frequently throughout the show's history. You know, I think men are, in particular, when they get older, because I think you see that men have a tendency to kind of isolate anyways. Like, and if you're, and then, you know, women, I've noticed a lot of women that are older, let's say they're retired, they still like are part of like three or four different communities. They're still like, my mom was busier than ever when she retired. She's got this community and that community. And she's just got constantly people coming over. If my mom throws a party, there's like 25, 30 people there, like in an instant. Like, and I just think like when I compare with the men that are retired, that's not the case. Not that they're socially incapable. I just think they're used to like not particularly creating community. And so many older men, their community was work. That's where all their work buddies were kind of, I've got lots of friends because I'm really tight with these six or eight guys at work. And then they get older. And then it's like, well, I don't really want to go out and make any new friends, and I don't really have that much community. And the loneliness can really strike the Achilles heel of men, which is this kind of ethos of like, go it alone.
Yes.
And then, and also maybe a resistance to change, a resistance to getting out of your comfort zone as an older man to say, hey, I feel like I could use a few more, you know, male friendships, for instance.
Yes. In fact, my husband is a perfect example of that. My husband's an introvert, okay? Kind of he could be a loner. He had once said in another life, I could have been a monk. I'm like, what? And he's a pastor and he can be all things to all people, but he really needs that alone time and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, 2020 rolled around and he was saying, I keep hearing from people about how it's emotionally trying and the distancing is tough. He goes, I'm great. But you know, when he hit 60, he started looking around at his friends, you know, as they were nearing retirement, and some of them had retired already, that these guys were going back to work. They said, oh, I could use some extra cash. It's because they had nothing to do. They had no one around them. They felt a lack of purpose. And I remember my husband coming to me and saying, I need to start being intentional about my friendships. Yeah. And suddenly meeting with people was no longer about work or even ministry per se, but he's really intentional now about weekly meetings with John where they talk about things they've read or great movies they've seen and where they want to hike. He's got monthly hikes planned with a pastor friend of his from years ago that he kind of mentored, and now they're buddies and they stay in shape that way. And he's got a whole bucket list of things he wants to do. And he's like, I don't want to go back to work. Because I need something to do. I need to, you know, stay young. Studies show you live longer when you are more socially connected.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I wanted to chat with you about is coming off of COVID, there was a lot of severed friendships. And I wanted you to chat about that a little bit. I, for one, my listeners know that I had a 180 in my political views and including my religious views in a way. I became, I went from being a Kennedy liberal and to all the way over to being very pro-America, very pro-Trump, much more in my Christian faith than I was prior. And to be fair, I also talked about a lot of crazy stuff or what they thought was crazy. You know, like they were like, he's being vocal against the COVID jab. What an idiot. And I was right. I was right to question it, by the way.
So insensitive. Yeah.
But the whole thing, like I lost friends of 25 years. Like I'm talking about my inner circle. And as much as I'm like, you know, I'm a strong man and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to find other resources. I'm going to have to make new friends in my new tribe, which I've done, but it was still incredibly difficult for me. And also there was a patch of loneliness where I'm like, I don't know who I'm going to call when things get rough right now, because it used to be these three or four guys, and it's not those guys anymore. So I wanted to ask you about that. If you had any experience with that, or if you saw an uptick in low, I mean, I think COVID was a big test in human loneliness and isolation, but then I just think coming out of it, I just think a lot of those friendships, including family ties, many times have been severed. I don't know if they're, not sure if they're coming back together. Do you know what I mean? So,
yes. And again, you know, COVID happened and we isolate, and what happened? Everybody went online. Ooh, that's where we connect. That's where we do this. Yeah. And there's this anonymity that being online does to you that brings out the worst sometimes in people. Mm-hmm. And so friends you have, whereas if they're standing in front of you, it might be more difficult to say, I'm done with you, and just, you know, flip them off. But if you're online and they're on your Facebook, you know, thread, they can easily just say, you know, well, I'm done with you. You're full of this. And it's a lot easier to do that. People do that to people they don't know, but we started seeing people do that to people they do know. And it's like, and if you don't agree with me, just unfriend me. Just do it now, because I don't. And I think part of that is the culture we live in, because it's this whole you are the single most important person in your life. If somebody disagrees with you, they are toxic. And it's this whole generation of kids who are distancing themselves from their parents and saying, I need space and I don't want to allow you in my life right now because I am rethinking or deconstructing my faith or whatever it is they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we've learned that we can just not tolerate somebody. We can just cut them off. If they don't agree with me, then they must not be my friend. And where is the grace? Where is the forgiveness? Where is the dynamic of what a true friendship is?
That's so well said, Cindy. You know, I see that from both sides. There's like the right, the conservative side is just as guilty as the left that I can see, because there's this kind of tendency to say, if you don't agree with me, then you're an idiot. And it's just like, it doesn't help. You know? It doesn't help to call the other side an idiot. It's like, let's not lead with that, because that's nobody's going to come to the table if we're name calling. And you said something earlier that perked me up a little bit, in that I forget sometimes that online, You're right. There's a shield where we can say things to people that we would never say in person because we're like, I'm not going to say that to you in person.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not going to talk that much trash in person because I'd be insufferable. Like, but on
and we can do it easier in text.
Yeah.
Than talking on the phone or in person.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
So yeah. Email. Send an email, but don't get on the phone. You know that.
Yeah. I know. That is so true. And you know, I'm seeing it with my son. He's 19, and you know, I worry about him because he's kind of a loner. He wasn't always that way, but he's almost grooming himself a little bit to be that way. And you know, I just see him getting his dopamine a lot from his phone. And I know we're all guilty of that, but it just kind of concerns me. Like, I know some of his friends, guys, boys that I coached in soccer, some of them are more apt to say, leave the phones. Let's go on a hike together. Let's go hang out. Let's go camping for a day or two because they need analog time. They recognize that time out in nature restores them. I have boys that I've coached that are like that, but my son, I love my son. He's got so many gifts, but he's more of the, oh, that sounds stupid. Or maybe even he subconsciously doesn't want to go without his phone for a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
right.
I mean? I see that. I see people absolutely terrified to put their phones away for 24 hours.
Yes. Part of the research I did when I was writing The New Loneliness, I read this book called iGen. I'll give you information about that after the interview. It was excellent.
Mm.
A woman who lives in San Diego started surveying the what she calls the iPhone generation, kids who don't know a time before the iPhone.
Yeah.
And she started tracking high school through 25, 30-year-olds and saw the impact of COVID combined with iPhone, reliance on technology, all the isolation, all of this stuff, and the drops in maturity levels, the drops in social etiquette, kids not knowing how to make eye contact anymore. They're so used to a screen.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you're just doing virtual meetings, when you're done, what do? You hit the leave meeting button. But you don't look around at people and say, hey, it's great to see you. I'll see you later and different things. You don't say your goodbyes and leave the room gracefully. You just click off. And people start to do that in person. And we've forgotten how to say thank you or talk to strangers. My daughter told me the other day, I complimented a woman on her blouse and she goes, Mom, don't talk to strangers. And I'm like, no. That was when you're a child, if they're dangerous. I can be friendly to other people. She goes, but you're kind of, you know, violating their boundaries. I said, you know what?
No.
I thought of it as, you know, extending warmth towards someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing too that you mentioned that phones have done is it has shrunk attention span to like 3 or 4 seconds. Like they can't. They're like, I'm bored. Like I force my son to sit down to watch a movie with me without his phone. And I try to get like sneaky stuff. So like we watched A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt, which is really a movie about fishing and taking your time and the things that are important to you.
It probably ran so slow for him, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, but he loved it. He was like, he goes, it was such a great movie. It was more than about fishing. I'm like, it was. And then he talked to his friends and his friends all thought it was a great movie. So I'm like, okay.
Good. Okay.
There's some hope here.
That was a happy story.
That was a happy story. But it's funny you mentioned the iGeneration. I laugh, Cindy, because I remember hearing my grandparents talk about what it was like when they were kids. And I just remember going, oh my God, you're ancient.
I remember telling my son,
I'm like, when I was growing up, the phones were on the wall with cords on them.
Yes.
You could only walk so far. And he's like, oh my God.
We had to dial up internet.
Yeah. Well, and I said, I remember when there was no computers, like there was just none. They were just starting in high school. And I go, and the TVs, I remember when there wasn't remotes, like there was like 5 channels and you had to get up and change it at the TV. And he's like, what the heck was that like? I'm like, it was watching TV, talking on the phone. It was the same thing.
And you had to wait through the commercials. You couldn't just, mute them out or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So good. So good. So, shifting conversations, like how In what way can loneliness be seen as a spiritual issue? And I'm really asking about relationship with God, being a Christian, and what role faith plays in the journey out of loneliness. For the Christian listeners, and there's plenty of them, if you're facing a bout of loneliness, how does faith play a role, and what would be your recommendations for them?
I believe loneliness will always be a part of a human existence if we are looking anywhere other than to God to fill that deep ache of aloneness that we feel, to get our sense of affirmation, our sense of purpose. We have promises from God's word that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will never cancel us out if we are questioning our faith. So we need to first realize he is with us. He's for us. He has a reason we're here. And that takes care of that sense of insignificant or lack of purpose we might feel when we tend to get alone, which then leads to loneliness. And as we trust God to fill that ache, we can then reach out to others and live in community as he intended. I have realized that when I know how to live in relationship with God and I'm following his commands of how to love, that greatly improves my relationships with others.
Absolutely.
In my human flesh, when somebody disappoints me or really hurts me, you know, it's like an automatic response to go, you know what? I'm done with that person. I'm never going to have any friends again. And then I have to go back to, I disappoint people too. I disappoint God all the time, and he always takes me back. And that's how I need to be in relationship with others. And that mentality, shifting from the I'm done with that person to the I'm going to give them another chance because God gives me another chance, has saved and even improved and deepened so many of my friendships. Because when you go through a difficulty or a misunderstanding, you talk that out, you extend grace, that relationship can become deeper and better and stronger when we take the time to do that.
I love that. Boy, you're counseling me right now on some of my heartbreaking departures and getting me to see that, you know, I've been hurt and maybe not extending grace or not giving it one more chance, even though I would want the one more chance, right?
Yeah, and Tony, the times that, like, when I look back, the times when I didn't make the effort, it was my pride.
Yeah.
Who is that person to hurt me again? I don't have time for this. I deserve better. I'm not going to say sorry again. I'm not going to initiate. It was always stemming from pride. And when I thought about God's love for me and can extend that towards somebody else, many times that softens that other person.
I feel like that's a mic drop kind of thing you just did. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
It's really like that's the highest level you can go. So thank
you. I'm teaching myself too.
Yeah. I hear you. You know, what other, besides what you had just mentioned, like, is there other solutions that you kind of came across in terms of people? Obviously, the one you just mentioned is the most important, being in alignment with God.
Right.
But there's probably some other things. Maybe somebody is like, I am in alignment, but I still feel kind of lonely. Is there any kind of other coaching you would give somebody that's like, I'm still feeling like I don't have enough friends kind of thing?
Right. And I wanted to provide some practical stuff like that in my book too, not just be all theory, you know, God can fill you up. Because again, I even went through a phase where, and it's usually when somebody's hurt me, where I'm like, you know, it's me and God and I'm good. Mm-hmm. And God did not intend for us to just be with him. That's why he created us for community, and our interactions with others can sharpen us. So some of the steps that I have in my book, in addition to take it to God first, like when you're struggling with something or you're feeling lonely, and then tell a few close friends what you're struggling with. We have to be intentional about friendships. And sometimes it's hard to open up when someone's hurt us or we just don't like feeling vulnerable. But as we are, you know, even my husband has noticed with his friends, when he begins to open up a little, then they do. You know, it can stay surface if you want it to and you're just protecting, but then it'll always just be surface. But, you know, when he's like, hey, you know, how's it going? How are you doing with your wife? How are the kids doing? Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Again, my husband, the introvert, he'd rather, you know, keep these feelings inside, but he finds that when he extends, that moves the friendship to another place. Another thing is a lot of people in their loneliness, you know, I don't have friends. It's not easy for me to make friends. They even do this when they, you know, go try a new church. Well, I'll go to church to make friends. Nobody talked to me. Many times we wait for others to extend toward us.
Yep.
But when we take that first step, sometimes people won't respond the way we want to. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Find somebody else. Take a first step with them. Take that second step. Initiate. Call back. Do a follow-up appointment. As we extend that way, that's often what makes the difference between, yeah. Well, you know, I'm still lonely. I'm not doing anything. Don't wait for others to come to you. And I often tell women who say that they're so lonely, I say, you know what? Look around you at the other people that are probably lonely too, mm-hmm. and reach out to them. You know, as we reach out to others, God has a way of filling us as we seek to fill somebody else. Sometimes it's with that person we reached out to, but sometimes it's from somebody in another direction who reaches out to us because we took the time to reach out to someone else. So just kind of, you know, looking to see how maybe you can fill that need in somebody else's life, how you can maybe be a sharpening person in their life. You will then find that you've got other people to sharpen you too. I've never seen that not work.
That's beautiful. Thank you for saying that, Cindy. Where can people find you and what website? Where can people connect with you and anything else you'd like our listeners to know about today?
I'm at strengthforthesoul.com. That's my website. And I've got a, you know, contact Cindy page. I'd love to know you were there. You can find out about my books and my ministry and my writings, my coaching services for writers. I work primarily with women who write nonfiction. And so you can also find me on crosswalk.com. I do a lot of the spiritual life writing there. That applies to both men and women. I talk about prayer. I talk about, I did a very controversial article, even for a Christian audience, on 7 prayers for vaccination anxiety. And I think I just got all the haters on both sides. It was the most interesting thing because I had people, you know, just berating me for making people feel guilty for not getting a vaccination, and people just berating me for encouraging people to get a vaccination. I'm like, how could I have done both? You know, how could I have been against the vaccination and for the vaccination when I wrote an article on how to pray over the anxiety of whether or not you should? And I wrote that out of personal experience. You know, I had a situation where, you know, family members, you know, I won't be able to see these family members if I don't. Yeah. And yet I trust my immune system, so I don't know if I should. And, you know, some of those prayers. And it just showed me that, you know, people read things from a certain perspective and they can read into whatever's there, or they read a headline and not the rest of the story. And so, crosswalk.com or strengthsforthesoul.com. And I just encourage you, male or female, to just address that loneliness in your life. Get out of that place where you're just in front of a screen and get in front of faces.
Love it. Well, Cindy, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing your insight and your wisdom. Just so graceful, and I appreciate it doing it when you're not feeling 100%. Thanks for being a trooper and still showing up and giving such a great dialogue today. Just really appreciate listening to you. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. You can find Cindy at www.strengthforthesoul.com. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.